Okay, I want to begin to share with a little introduction. Instead of talking about Torah in motion, I'm going to talk about Torah being pre-coded. There's a certain assumption that we make when we study Chumash that, in a certain sense, Torah is pre-coded. I'm going to explain what I mean, and you'll see how it's going to affect this year. Because today's goal is to understand the theme of God's name in Tefillah and Davening. If you remember from any time you go to shul, one of the biggest high points in davening is when we say Yehi Shmei Rabam Horach, when we're saying how great God's name is, or Yishtabach Shimcha, or Yitgadav Yitgadav Shmei Rabah. There's going to be tons and tons of examples. The goal of today's year is simply to understand why is the God's name, or the word shame, referring to God's name, why is it such a key topic in davening, and how it, where that topic begins in Chumash. I want to explain what I mean when Chumash is pre-coded. When you read a regular history book, you're assuming the author of the book wants you to know history, gives you all the information. You assume he might have a little bias, he might have his own opinions, but the goal of the reader, the goal of the author, is to give the reader history. When you're reading Chumash, and here the author is HaKadosh Baruch God, and God gives over Chumash, was the goal of the book that God's giving us simply to let us know what happened, or is the goal of the book to give us basically, how we're supposed to understand our relationship with Him, why we were chosen as a Jewish nation, so what we're obligated to do. Or in essence, when you study any book of Zavor, any book of prophecy, the question always is, what message is the book giving over? Our basic assumption in all of our study is that the purpose of Chumash, especially Bereshit, and the books of the, not just Tanakh, but Chumash itself, the purpose of the book is God wants to give man, especially the people of Israel, an explanation of why they're chosen. And to do that, he presents a history from creation through the choice of Avram Avinu in Sefer Bereshit, through the choice of the 12 tribes, and then he continues that story in Sefer Shemot. But as he tells the story, one of the methods the Chumash uses to deliver the message, instead of sort of spilling the beans, it pre-codes the message in a special way, using key phrases and key words that repeat themselves or alluded to in order that the reader should put two and two together. Meaning, Chumash many times alludes to its message by using special phrases that repeat themselves, and we're going to find in Chazal, when the rabbis try to decipher those messages, we're going to find how they're very sensitive to when key phrases are repeated in special ways. We're going to pick up on one of those in today's shiur. I simply wanted, as a point of introduction, I simply wanted to use it to explain why we're doing what we're about to do. Because I'm going to show you how the name Shem, Shin Mem in Hebrew, is going to come up in very interesting places in Sefer Bereshit, and how that's going to help the book develop its theme. To begin with, I'm going to show you a little, we're going to go to presenter mode, and we're going to discuss Okay, if you take a look at the, hopefully the board should be up in a minute, in the top left corner, you're going to see a little chart of Sefer Bereshit.
Hi, Menachem, can you move it to the middle? I don't know about other people, but on my screen, like part of it is blocked under where you are. Is there any way to get the stuff in the middle of the page?
Yeah, I'll make it here. Here we go.
No, that didn't change anything.
Is that better?
No, not from my perspective. Now it's better.
Okay,
yes.
Take another 10.
Now it's better. At least on my computer, okay. It's better, yes.
Okay. I've divided here Sefer Bereshit into two very basic sections. Chapters 1 to 11, and chapters 11 to 50. As you can see on the slide. I'll highlight the sections we'll need to soon. But if you look at chapters 1 to 11, that's what we call the universal side of the book of Bereshit, where the focus is on all of mankind. Where starting in chapter 11, when we begin with the genealogies of Shem, we begin to focus on God choosing Avraham Avinu and then Yitzhak, and then Yaakov, and finally when the book is over, we have 12 tribes, and the nation of Israel, or the family of Yaakov, the 70 souls go down to Egypt. Right now it seems something very technical, but we'll see soon why this division will help us understand a theme that develops in Sefer Bereshit. If we look at the first 11 chapters, there's several sections. First we have the story of creation, followed by the story of Noah, and then the story of the Tower of Babel. Here, the chart here is pointing out the different sections of Torah growth, genealogies that go through the book. But in the first section of the book, each unit is usually introduced by a set of genealogies. Well, if you're familiar with, usually we skip over them. The first one set of genealogies are the 10 generations from Adam to Noah that lead to the story of the flood. When the flood's over, we have the story of Shem, Ham, and Yafet, which leads to the story of the Tower of Babel, and then that leads us to the story of the genealogies of Shem, and that takes us to the second half of the book, where we go from the genealogy of Shem again 10 generations to Terach, etc. What I want to show you is that each segue from section to section, there's going to be something special about the word Shem. And the first section we're going to begin with is going to be at the end of, right before chapter 5 begins, right before we get to the genealogies of Adam to Noach in chapter 5, right at the end of chapter 4, after the story of Cain and Hevel, which pretty much ends the whole creation unit, we're going to have a very interesting pasuk, and that's going to be our first source. Okay. Hopefully, a next window should open up now, which should be nice and clear. It's going to be the very end of chapter 4 of Bereshit. And I'm going to focus on the last two psukim. We're going to make a box around it. This should work. We're going to focus on these psukim chatei and chatav. I'm going to read pasuk chatei first. V'yedah adam od et ishtav hatev et ben et ikrat shmo shet kishat li'alim zerachet tachat hevel ki yogol kain. Basically, Adam decided they need want to have another child after Cain and Hevel pretty much failed. And that is then his name is Sheik. Pasuk Chavav, with a Sheik Damu Yilad Ben, by Kroshmo Enosh. Sheik had a son, his name was Enosh. And then it says, Azu Chavi Kro B'Shem Hashem. Then, men began to call out in God's name. This phrase at the bottom, Azu Chavi Kro B'Shem Hashem, is very strange. If we look at the English on our translation here, it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This translation, the JPS translation, is trying to be literal to the words. If you look at like the article translation, you'll find something very different. They don't say that man began to profane God's name. That's because the word huchal can be understood in one of two ways. Huchal could be understood as something beginning, or could also be considered milashe chilul, something becoming profane. Why all the commentators almost all understand this pasuk as something negative, we'll see in a minute. Because after the story is over, when the story is completed, then we find the generation of the flood beginning and mankind going downhill. And therefore, they understand that men began to profane God's name, but this phrase, Likrom B'Shem Hashem, is going to come up over and over again in Sefer Bereshit, especially when we get to Avram being chosen. So again, at a key point in Sefer Bereshit, almost as a cliffhanger at the end of chapter 4, Chumash Reader, after Sheik gives birth to a son named Enosh, man began to profane calling out in God's name. Expecting that God had expectations that man would sort of call out in his name, make a name for God or find God. Instead, man begins to profane God's name. We're going to... Hold a second. We're going to close the window, and we should be back to our regular screen now. What we're going to do now, we're going to show you how the exact same phrase is going to appear later on in Sefer Bereshit, right when Avraham Avinu is chosen. We're going to return to presenter mode now. And we're going to take a look at the Abram first makes his aliyah to the land of Israel. And again, we're going to find how, right in this key spot, we're going to find the exact same phrase. Abram comes to the land of Israel. First he goes to Shem and builds his Zech there. And from Shem, he continues on his journey in Tzatzik Zayin. God promises him at Shem, he's going to give him the land. Then in Pasachet, he goes on to the mountain range near Beit El. And at the end of Pasachet, we're told, Vayez Hashem Yizbeach, and Beit El would build a house, an altar for God. And again, Vayikrav Hashem Hashem. He calls out in God's name. Now, why Chumash would use the exact same phrase at the end of Perek Daled, and use the exact same phrase in the beginning of Pasachet, is exactly our point. Chumash is hinting to something, what God expects from Avraham Avinu. In a minute, we're going to see another to prove that this is highlighted. Later on in Perikid Gimel, the screen will move for a minute. In Perikid Gimel, Avram goes down to Egypt and then returns. When he returns from Egypt after his incident with Sarah, with Lothar, when he returns, again he goes back to his mitzvah in Beit El, and again what we find, Chumash goes out and tells us, Vayikra Hashem Avram. Again, Avram calls out in God's name. Lomban, on the topic, makes a famous comment. He says, what does it mean calling out in God's name? It doesn't mean calling out to God in prayer, it means calling out about God. And then he explains what Avram did, and later the same thing about Yitzchak, what they do when they come to the land, the main point of their aliyah is to make a name for God. And Ramban explains it, and that's the time where Avram was, no one paid attention to his ideas. When he came to Canaan, he began to make a name for God. That's why the people in Hebron, we read about last week, he's known as Nasi Elohim HaTzav HaTochenu, he's the Prince of God. He's known, and everything that he does, all of his encounters, he's trying to make a name for God. Finally, at the end of chapter 21, we have another example of where Avram is, again, tries to make a name for God. In Dina Perek Aleph and Pasuk Lamed Gimel, we find also something very similar. When Avram plants his Eshel in Beersheba, again, after he makes the brit with Abimelech and Pasuk Lamed Gimel, there again, what do we find? We find again that Avram calls out, Vayikra Sham, B'Shem Hashem. Again, Avram calls out in God's name. Okay. What's the idea behind calling out in God's name? If we go back to a chart before, that we had before, about the two halves of Sefer Bereshit, if we go back to that chart, that we just should be opening up now, the question is, what message is Sefer Bereshit giving to why the Jewish people were chosen? Why God decided to pick Avraham Avinu? If God was unhappy with man's development, which led to the flood with the Tower of Babel, remember in the Tower of Babel the sin was in the Tower of Babel incident, they're trying to make a name for God. Avraham is chosen pretty much to bring God's name back into the history of mankind. And therefore these two halves of Sefer Bereshit pretty much balance each other, and they indicate the reason why God decided to choose Avraham Avinu. If I want to summarize part one, we're simply saying that the reason why God chose the Jewish people was he wanted a nation that would bring the name of God to mankind. Now, why would he want a nation as opposed to a person? There's two very simple reasons. The first reason is a nation can be eternal, whereas an individual comes and goes. They don't live forever. A nation can be something eternal. Number two, nations have effect on other nations. Nations can have effect on history. Again, individuals come and go, but the idea of a nation being part of the history of nations can accomplish the goal much better, especially if that nation has a land, has its own kingdom, an ideal state. It's a country like any other country, and they become a model nation that will make a name for God. We're going to close presenter mode again for a minute, and in case there's any questions, if there's any questions to this point, let me know, and then the next thing we're going to do is try to show the same idea later on when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, how we have the same idea coming up again. Is there any questions or... We'll continue. Okay.
People can either write or speak their questions.
Okay. We'll continue now, and later on in Divrei Hayamim, or also in Sefer Melachim, we finally find that David HaMelech is building a house for God. It took a long time till we finally got to that stage in Jewish history. But I want to show you, when he gives over the building plans to his son Shlomo, and has to explain to him, why is it that he wants the Beit HaMikdash to be built? We're going to see this very same thing coming up over and over again. I'm going to put back the presenter mode, and we'll get the presenter mode back up in a second, and we'll get to the next screen. Okay, it should come up in a minute. Okay. David HaMelech is going to make a statement to his son Shlomo. He's going to tell him as follows. I'm going to highlight it so we see it. We're going to focus on Sukkim, Hey, Vav, and Zion. David tells Shlomo as follows. V'yom David v'Shlomo b'nei Navarach. V'vay tibnot Hashem l'agdir l'mal l'Hashem t'ifer l'chol l'asot t'chinen alo v'yechan David l'lo v'tifnim oto. What's David saying? I'm making a house for God, and the purpose of this house is, again, l'agdir l'mal l'Hashem t'ifer l'chol l'asot. The purpose of this house is to make God look good, to make a name for God from all the land. Then v'yiklash Shlomo b'no v'tavir v'tavir v'vayit l'Hashem alo Yisrael. And then David says, V'yom David v'Shlomo b'nei. I'm building a house to make a name for God. This idea of making a name for God is not only going to be in the house itself, the house will be a symbol of that name. But in anything a Jew does, anytime a Jew is carrying any type of symbol that he's God's people, then the way he acts to be making a name for God. What's going to happen over and over again, in the Nevi'im, after the Beit HaMikdash is built, there's going to be a real basic thing that all the Nevi'im talk about, that if the Jewish people are not only worshipping God in the Beit HaMikdash, in the house that's set aside to make a name, but also their behavior in their day-to-day life, as a nation, as individuals, is making God look good, and God says, I'll keep the house, and he'll bless the land, etc. On the other hand, if they're not following God properly, the Nevi'im like Yishael, and later for sure Yirmiyahu will talk about, I don't want you representing me. I'm not going to allow you to have this house, this mikdash. It's going to make a name for me if you're doing a poor job representing me. And therefore he threatens to destroy it. And finally, after threat and threatening again, and the people are not listening, the mikdash is finally destroyed because they're not making a name for God properly. Same thing happens in the Second Temple. Okay. Now we're going to move for a minute and discuss how we have the same idea throughout Tfilah. I want to begin with the different sections of Tefillah that we say. What we discussed last week a little bit was how Tefillah is not only a person asking God for help or asking his needs from God, it's also about making a name for God. And it's not just a question of recognizing who God is, but it's to remember, we explained in Kabbalat HaMalchut Shemayim, when you accept God as your master, you're recognizing that you're chosen to serve him. It's your job to work for him. Before we do that, we have a whole section of Tefillah called Pesukei Dezimra, where we're sort of making God look good. We're making a name for God. So if you remember what we say in the beginning of Pesukei Dezimra, it begins with a blessing, a Baruch Shama, a Vayala Baruch Shmo. We're thanking God and praising him in many ways for all the things that he did. And then we're going to quote later on in davening from right after we make that bracha. We're going to quote from Divrei Hayamim, and I have to put a presenter screen one last time. Here we go. Start. And I'm going to put that on the presenter screen. When David HaMelech builds the Beit HaMikdash, he brings Yaron to Yerushalayim. I'm sure you remember the story. And there, after he brings Yaron to Yerushalayim, he puts several people in charge to make sure that the thinking is done. There's a nice fire there. And in front of Yaron, from the Levim, in Pasek Dalet, David appointed Levim Laskil Lodot Lahalel Hashem Elokei Yisrael to sing his praises. And the leader was Asaf HaRosh. If you look in Pasek Zayin, what did David do when they brought their own to Yerushalayim? Vayomahu Asnatan David Barosh Lodot Lashem Biyad Asaf Yachal. The person who David chose to praise God was Asaf. And therefore, all the Levim were Asaf. It's just Asaf was the head of the Levim in the time of David. What is the mizmor that they wrote when they brought their own to Yerushalayim when we were finally getting the Jewish people back on track? It shouldn't surprise us at all. We say, Hodu Lashem, Kirul Bishmo, Odir Bamin Malilotav. See the same phrase of Kriya B'Shem Hashem, Hashem, Kirul Bishmo. Remember, Avram was chosen, and Avram is Kori B'Shem Hashem. Here we have a command, we have to praise God and call out in his name, or call out to him, call it about him. The proof here is it's calling about him, it's based on the parallel, the tikvavit in this pasuk. Then we say, Hodir Bamin Malilotav, make his name known, among the nations. Shirulo, Zambalo, etc. Here again, you have the same thing of calling out in God's name. And that opens up the first Mizmorim of Pesukei Dezimra. Either before Baruch Shamar in Nusach Sfar, or after Baruch Shamar in Nusach Ashkenaz. And then we end the Baruch with Yishtabach Shimcha, Lad Malkeinu. We're making his name known. What we're doing throughout Pesukei Dezimra is we're talking about how great God is, and making a name for him. We talked about last week, and the Brachot of Kriyat Shema, we had something very similar, where right before we say Shema, we say, V'kayav Tana Malkeinu V'Shimcha Agadol, Tana Benet. We want to bring you back closer to your great name. There's another Bracha that we say later on in Shemoneh Esrei itself, when we're thanking God, we say, Atov Shimcha, Ulechana Ayodot. Your name is good, your reputation is good, and it's good to give you praise. Probably one of the best examples, though, is when we say Tachnun later on in the Huracham section. If you pay attention to the regular Huracham, there's lots of examples. I simply want to bring a pasuk that we all know by heart. The very last line of Tachnun, where we say, Ezrinu Rehi Shema Zabar Kvod Shemecha, we want to thank you. We're asking God to help us for the sake of the glory of your name. And save us and forgive our sins, again for the sake of your name. What's the theme of the prayer? Pretty much of all Tachnun. We're saying, meet at the deen, based on what we deserve, the way we're acting, the way we're serving you, the way we're representing you, we're doing a lousy job, and therefore maybe we don't deserve to be rewarded, maybe we actually even deserve to be punished, and we have a punishment coming to us. We're asking God, do us the favor, and for the sake of your name, because if you punish us, it looks really bad in your name, help us out, get us past this time, and we'll do better next time, but do it for the sake of your name. Even we're going to bring an example soon from Yechezkel, when he talked about the future, redemption in the future. These are the Haftarot that we read later on in on Pesach time, the Nevot of Nechama of Yechezkel, we talked about what's going to bring redemption. He talks about that the whole reason he's going to save his people is for the sake of his name. I'm going to get the screen up in a minute. We'll put that to presenter screen one more time. And if you notice these Pesukim in Yechezkel, where he talks about how Am Yisrael now is in exile, and he has to explain why there's a need for redemption. So we're going to read from Pasuk Yetzet on top. Yechezkel says, Apitotam Bagoim, I scattered them among the nations, and they came to different lands. Because of all the bad ways, I judged them. And then in Patachah, by Boraz and Meshe Barusham, the people of Israel came to the nations that they came to in exile, by Chalu Hashem Kodshi. They made my name look good, I mean, look bad. They bore Lehem, when people said about them, Am Hashem Eila, these are God's people, and they were sent out from this land. And the very fact that Jewish people were not in their own land, that in itself, Yechezkel says, is making God's name look bad. Techmo Hashem Kodshi, God says then, I'm going to have, Rachmanut, I'm going to have, mercy or pity for my name, which B'nai Yisrael by their existence in exile was bad. And therefore, in Pasuk Chabet, Lachem, God says, Tell B'nai Yisrael, Kol Ma'ashem, Lo L'madchem Ani Yoseh, I'm not doing it for your sake, B'nai Yisrael, Kim V'Shem Kodshi, Asher Chilat and Bagoyim. Remember, Asu Chavi Kol B'Shem Hashem? So again, here, the switch side, that because my name is being profaned by the very fact you're in exile, therefore, God says in Pasuk Chabgimel, the Kidashti Shmei Agadol, I'm going to make my name great again, which is profaned in the nation. And then, by making my name, by bringing you back, that will make my name look good again. Then, Pasuk Chabgimel, the Kach Tetchem Minagoyim, the Kibashti Tetchem Minagoyim, the Kibashti Tetchem Minagoyim, the Kibashti Tetchem bring you back to your land. And then, even though we might not be deserving of redemption, then God says at the end of Pasuk Chabgimel, V'zachti Alechem Ayim Tovim, V'talchem Mikol Tumotechem, then I have to bring new clean water, fresh water, and sprinkle you, to cleanse you, to get you ready for, hopefully, is your proper tshuva, and then you'll be worthy of redemption. Okay, that screen should be back to normal now. So let me summarize what I try to show you, is that all throughout Tanakh, there's a very basic thing starting in Sefer Bereshit, where God chooses a nation to make a name for him. And the way that this nation makes a name for God is as individuals how they act, and as a nation how they act. Now, in order to make sure that other nations know, and other people know, I'll answer Ronit's question now first. Ronit's asking, what does it mean by God's name? There's a pasuk in Kohelet, which I think will help us understand what's going on. It says, Tov Shem Yishem and Tov, that a shame is better than good oil. But there means Tov Shem. Shem means someone's reputation. A person, in regular jargon, when a person makes a name for himself, when a person is making a name for himself, a name means his reputation, how he's known, how he's perceived. Now, how does a regular person make a name for himself? He can be a great movie star, he can be a ball player, he can be seen, he can make great speeches, he can be a politician, he can be a general. But people, in day-to-day life, make a name for themselves. Now, how do you make a name for a God who can't be seen? Let's say this God exists. If you want to look at it, it's probably the biggest marketing scheme ever thought of, where here we have a God who's all-powerful, exists, creator of everything. The only problem is no one can see him, no one can hear him, no one can touch him. And how are you going to get a message across? How are you going to do this marketing idea that there's this God who exists, and he's the creator of everything, he has expectations for man? How are we going to get this message across to mankind with a God who can't be heard and can't be seen and can't be touched and can't be felt? For that reason, God chooses a nation, gives them a destiny, gives them a goal, gives them a set of laws, which we call later Matan Torah, that they have to keep. That through keeping those laws, they'll hopefully make a name for God. And therefore, in the laws that they're keeping, the most important thing is how they're acting as individuals, like we see in Parashat Toshim to you, and as a nation, like we'll see later on in Sefer Devarim, the type of government they have, the type of economy they run, the type of how they go to war, what type of judges they have, what type of education system they have, how they take care of the poor and the needy. If we have a nation that's keeping laws, I think we'll bring I'll bring one more pasuk from Sefer Devarim in a minute that will show that idea. But if that nation is keeping God's laws properly, and they're located in a central location, that's why the land of Israel is located between two centers of civilization, between the Middle East and the Middle East, between Mesopotamia and Egypt, if they're doing a good job, then the last thing they need to do is to build some type of structure so that everyone knows why they're chosen. So I'm going to go back to presenter mode here, and show you one last set of sukkim and set of dvarim, which shows this idea very nicely. If you take a look at says in Brian Perek in Parshat Et Hanan, Pesukim Hei Rechet, there it says, Reini Mari Seichem Chukim U'Mishpatim, we're in Pesuk Hei, verse 5. He's telling, Moshe speaking to the people of Israel, as he's about to tell them all the laws of Sefer Devarim, which are going to go all the way to chapter 26, all the way to chapter 26, from chapter 5. He says, this, we're here now in Perek Dalet, in chapter 4, in its introduction. He says, Reini Mari Seichem Chukim U'Mishpatim, note that I'm teaching you today all these laws that God commanded me to tell you, to keep them in the land that I'm giving, that I'm taking you there to inherit. Pasuk Vav, Ushmatem Vatitem, keep them carefully, watch them and keep them. By you keeping these laws, that's your wisdom and judgment and understanding in the eyes of the nations. Asher Yishmunet Kochel Kimeiro, when they hear about all these laws and how you're acting, they'll be amazed about how great and wise this nation is, and then they'll say, Hashem Elokeinu, and who is a nation like this that's so close to God, representing Him, and every time that we, the whole Kareinu is us, as we call out to Him and call out about Him, okay? Where do we find a nation that has so many laws that are just and upright, like the laws that the people of Israel are keeping? Like this entire set of laws that I'm teaching you today. Here again, we see the idea that before Moshe gives the laws, he explains to them why it's important to keep them. Now, if Amisa only kept the laws, but didn't tell the world that they were doing it because God commanded them, the message might not get across. So there's going to be always two types of rituals we're going to find in addition to keeping the laws. First and foremost, you have to keep the laws of the Torah and personal behavior and national behavior. But also, we need a constant reminder as God's people, as God's servant, that were chosen by Him, and just like He felt like tzitzit, they had felt like tefillin, which are constant reminders that we're serving God, like in mezuzah, they surround us all the time. In addition to that, we have mitzvot that show the rest of the world that we're God's people. That would be a mitzvah like the Beit HaMikdash. Let me close the window. There's laws like building a mikdash for God, building a temple for God, where that will show the other nations that we're God's people. So again, we need a reminder for ourselves, and we need something to show the other nations that we're God's people. If you want to compare it to the mitzvah of tefillin, and tefillin, we have tefillin shaliyad and tefillin shavarosh. Tefillin shaliyad is a reminder for ourselves, that's why they're always covered, that we're a person representing God, we're a servant of God, which still is a worshiper to be seen by other people, and that shows other people that we're representing God. And we know that before you put on tefillin shavarosh, before you show up that you're God's people, before you start saying that I'm representing God, before you start showing other people that you're a servant of God and you're representing Him, first you have to make sure you have a tefillin shayad on, and you have to make sure that you know that you're keeping your thoughts properly, then you can talk about, then you can go public with this idea. It's for the same reason the guy tells David that even though he wanted to go to Beit HaMikdash, David got things started and got things moving, but he couldn't go public. He couldn't make this Beit HaMikdash be open, more universal, like it is in the time of Shlomo. David in his generation couldn't do it because, like God told him, he has to wait for more quiet, there has to be more Menucha v'Nachala. David is living in a time of war. He's a man of war. He fought battles ahead of his thought, but because his generation was one that were still fighting our enemies, it was still necessary to wait another generation before you can go public with this idea of being God's nation. And in that sense, there's times in Jewish history where we're in what you call survival mode, where we don't fulfill the goal in a universal sense, but we keep reminding ourselves of that goal, and we keep working on improving ourselves and focusing on the study of Torah and keeping ourselves dedicated to God. And if redemption continues in the proper path, and we return to our land, and we establish a country and a government, and it's acting in a way that's proper, they're properly making name for God, then we can go and talk about these ideas more publicly, and we can entertain the idea of building a temple, or building a mikdash for God, to make His name known. Also, throughout history, even when Jews are in exile, how they live as communities or individuals in overseas, in exile, can also help make a name for God. So there's value the value not only when living as a nation and land of Israel, getting the idea across, but also in life even in exile. So to summarize, I'm trying to show you that there's a major theme in Chumash from Bereshit all the way through Divrei Hayamim, throughout our history, about how the Jewish people were chosen to make a name for God. And therefore, throughout davening, we're going to find many, many instances in davening where we're going to find many examples in davening where we're going to find many, many things. Remember, we talk about this idea of making a name for God. We're going to talk about it in Pesukei Dezimra over and over again. We're going to mention it before we say Shema. We're going to mention it, and that pretty much the highlight is called the Kaddish. It's Kadavik Kadash Merabah. The reason originally why it was written in Aramaic was so that everyone would understand it. We're saying God's name should be exalted and made great. We're reminding ourselves over and over again about the very fact that we're chosen to represent God. And therefore we're saying Yehi Shmei Rabbah is always going to be so important that God's name should be great and known forever and ever. And we'll talk about it in Shmoneh Esrei. We'll talk about it before we say Shema. And we'll talk about it we'll quote another passage from David HaMelech in the end of Tehillim Kufav where he says Hosheinu Hashem Elokeinu V'kabtzinu Min HaGoyim V'Odot B'Shem Kodshecha. To save us from our enemies and bring us back for the sake of your save us from and bring us back from all four corners of the earth in order that we can L'Odot B'Shem Kodshecha V'Shtabach B'Tzilatecha, so that we can thank you properly and make your name known among the nations. I could bring another 50 examples, but simply the best way is simply pay attention next time you daven, next time you go through Tzilah, through Pesukei Dezimra, through Brachot Kriyat Shema, or after Kriyat Shema, in Shmoneh Esrei, in Tachnun, in the Pesukim in the Avodah Zion, you'll see how often that theme of Shem Hashem comes up over and over again, and hopefully you understand how it's connected to a big theme of Chumash, of how and why God chose the nation, and why it was in the first place that God chose Avraham Avinu. In Yechezkel was chapter 36, basically the whole chapter from the beginning, and in Divrei Hayamim, it was Divrei Hayamim Aleph, I'll write down the thing, chapter 22, I was reading 5-8, but you can simply read the whole parak talks about the same idea. All parak chapchet and chapchet and development talks about the same idea. Then we just touched the edge of an iceberg. If you want, I can send you a source sheet that's got another about 50 sources, all about the same idea of Shem Hashem. And if you have any questions, we can ask them now. Otherwise, we're going to be closing off in a couple of minutes. Okay, Jay, you have to leave early today, right?
I have to leave in a minute.
Okay.
Every Tuesday. Every day I have to leave at this time.
Okay. If anyone has a microphone, can test it there now, or if you want, you can use the chat. Okay. We'll send a source sheet out to the distribution list within a day or two. It's also on the website, www.tana'al. I'll put the website up there. Pretty much all the shiurim and all the sources and everything are all there in many forms and formats. Okay, so I wish everybody a Chodesh Tov. Have a good Rosh Chodesh.
Okay, thanks. We'll
be back next week at 7:30.